Father Brown, you know. Anybody ever seen Father Brown? Yeah, well, Deborah has because she introduced us to it. I don't know how there's anybody alive yet. This guy's a murder mystery solver priest. But the town is so small, I have no idea how anybody's even left in the town. Because somebody dies every episode. But it's a fun show, and it's, you know, fairly innocuous. All right, let's look over here at Joshua chapter 9. And it came to pass, when all the kings which were on this side of the Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys, and in all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite, all the ites, heard thereof. So they heard basically that God and his people are coming. God and his people are coming. And they were on this side of the, they were basically the side that Israel was coming to conquer. All right? And so you remember the cities of Jericho. You remember the city of Ai, as we read about in chapters 7 and 8. And the city of Ai, that was kind of a troublesome situation when they were trying to take the city of Ai because they had not listened to God. They had not understood what God told them to do. So you always want to listen to God. We are walking in the new covenant, right? Are we walking in the new covenant today with Jesus? Jesus in me, in my heart. He's in me. I'm meditating upon his word. We want to walk according to the wisdom of God. We want to walk according to the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Not so that you can stay saved. It's obviously so you can stay in the presence of the Lord and in his walk in his promises. Amen? You don't want to step out of his promises because then you begin to get in more trouble like Jesus promised. Right? So in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Now, so as they are walking with God and endeavoring to hear his voice, and they're keeping the law, but keeping the law, especially in yours and my case, is not a matter for being born again, not a matter for being saved, but walking in the wisdom of the law of God is going to protect you from all kinds of nonsense. Amen. Praise God. You know, if you're married, stay married to the wife of you. Don't go off and do other things. Amen. Take care of your kids. Work hard. Do what God, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. So God is teaching you to walk in wisdom, to walk in a wise manner. So we have all these kings, which were on this side. All of these folks, and then verse 2, they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. See, like Jericho, they kind of fought when Israel came to get them. They fought when Israel came to get them. Yet the problem there was is that they didn't ask God how many people they should take with them. It's a little town. We'll just take two or three thousand of us. Well, they got chased down. They got chased down out of the town of Ai. And they found out that they had not heard God. So they had to repent. Sometimes, you ever had that? You didn't hear God. You had to repent. Amen. Repent just means turn and go the other way. Change your mind. Amen? It's because you decided that you knew what the best course of action was and you didn't ask God. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask God what the best course of action is. Well, you know, it's a matter of hearing him, going to God, spending time in his presence, knowing that he is your God. You're not your God. He's your God. Amen? He is the God with whom you have to do. So these gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord, because they had heard what Israel had done to those tribes and to those cities whom they had come upon. They were utterly wiped out because God commanded them to wipe out utterly these civilizations and these cities. Now, we're looking at this Old Testament is that God sent them to clean out this land. It's as if you were going to go into a piece of property and clean it out. Clean it out ultimately. Get rid of everything that's in there. Get rid of everything that could possibly remain and be of trouble and problematic to your growth and your health and everything that has to do with these with moving into a place that God has given you. And they gathered them, like I said, and they came in with one accord. Well, it hadn't worked out when they've just been one or two of them. So let's get together all five of us, and I think we can take them. In verse 3, it says, "And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done in Jericho and to Ai, they did wilily." Everybody say wilily. Yeah, see, it's hard to say, isn't it? Wilily. I think of Wile E. Coyote, you know? You remember him? Coyote and the Roadrunner. It says, Wile E. Coyote. They did wilily. Good old King James English. They did subtly or deceptively. They did something different than these other guys. They didn't join up with all the other ites. These were the guys who were in the city of Gibeon, and they joined up together. And listen to what they did. This is very interesting. "And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they did work wilily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors or travelers or, you know. And they took old sacks upon their donkeys," we'll say, "and wine bottles, old and rent, and bound up," barely held holding together, looked like, "and old shoes clouded upon their feet," tied on their feet, shoes that were tied on their feet, "and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua and the camp at Gilgal." So here they are coming into tears. You got these guys coming into the camp, just looking like they'd been traveling for days and months, you know. And they're not from here. They're not far from here. "So they went to Joshua and said to him and the men of Israel, 'We be come from a far country. And now therefore, make you a league with us. Make a treaty with us.' And the men of Israel said to the Hivites, 'Perhaps you dwell among us. How shall we make a league with you?'" In other words, they're a little bit suspicious of this. They were somewhat kind of like, well, you guys look the part, but... So they did a good job of making themselves up, you know, to look like that they had traveled all this way and looked like they were like nomads, having come across the desert, you know. "So how shall we make a league with you or an agreement or a confederacy with you?" And they said to Joshua, well, that sounds like they had their story all set, "We are your servants." And Joshua said to them, "Who are you?" So he keeps pressing in. "And from where come you?" And they said to him, "From a very far country." This is a great story. I like Bible stories, don't you? This is great. These guys had a scam, and they were going with it. "It's from a very far country. Your servants are come because of the name of the Lord your God. And we have heard the fame of him." Well, certainly they had, because he was killing everybody. "And all that he did in Egypt." Oh, they'd done their homework. So they knew about how the people of God had come out of come out of Egypt, that God had delivered them. Verse 10. And all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, and to Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and to Og, the king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, take victuals, take food, take gifts with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say to them, we are your servants. Therefore now, make a league with us. Make an agreement with us. Make a treaty with us. Now you remember, of course, all these other Hivites were coming out against them to battle them because they had heard what had happened with Jericho and with Ai. So these Gibeonites, they're a little sly, wily. They're sly because they're going to figure a way to maintain their civilization and their city and their people without dying for their land. So he says, now make a league with us, for the end of verse 11. Now they pulled out their bread and stuff, pull out their stuff. Verse 12, this is our bread. We took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day that we came forth to go to you. I mean, they're carrying on, they're keeping on with the story. They're keeping on with the scheme. But now, behold, it is dry and moldy. And these bottles of wine, which we filled, were new. And behold, they be rent. And these, our garments, and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Ooh. A great story. You know, people got great stories. People got great things that they want you to be involved in. They got great things that they want you to participate in. God told you to do one thing, but these people, man, they're good. And you got to give them some credit. So here they said they took of their victuals. Because if you eat with somebody in this old country, when you eat with somebody, that's a big deal. So you eat with somebody, and that's a covenant meal. So they took of their victuals, they took of their food that they had brought. And Joshua said to, come on down. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Well, there's your first hint. Oops. They did not ask the Lord. So I encourage you today, if you will, you know, ask counsel at the Lord, or at the mouth of the Lord. Verse 15. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them. So who did this? Joshua. Joshua did this. He was the guy. He was their guy. You know, Moses is dead. Go ye therefore. So I mean, he's the new leader of the Israelites. And so he took that and he made a league with them to let them live. So the league and the promise and the oath was to let them live, because they were not supposed to let people live. God had said, destroy them all. And the princes of the congregation swore to them. So in other words, Joshua wasn't by himself. It's kind of like here, you know, we've got the elders here. We meet together. We talk together. You know, Paul left, but David's still here. Thank the Lord. So, you know, we have these guys here, and we meet together, and we pray together, and we say, okay, God, what do you want us to do here? Well, we forgot to pray that day, apparently. And so we made a league with these guys, and the princes agreed. The princes all agreed to it, the nobles, the elders, all agreed together. and the princes of the congregation. This is the leaders. This wasn't the people. This was the leaders. That kind of goes back to tell you about what I just mentioned to you about choosing your leaders, doesn't it? Choosing your leaders, if it's in your hand to do, is important to choose the leaders that God is appointed. So go find out who is available. As in Acts chapter 6, choose you, as the apostles told them, choose you out among you. Sounds like how we do things in Texas and the United States. Choose you out among you, men, honest, full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith. That's the kind of men you want, that we may appoint over this business. So that's what we're doing. We want these princes to be full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith, hearing, asking of God, right? You want people asking of God who are going to be your leaders. So it came to pass at the end of 3 days, at verse 16, after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors. little birdie, so cat's out of the bag somehow. In other words, it came out that, I guess one of the children was talking to the other children. Oh, yeah, we're just over there, my house is just over the hill. And then, so they find out, that these guys are scamming them. It came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they'd made the league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelled among them. They were basically the next city over the rise that they were going to destroy. Gibeon was the next place to go. But they had come out, rather than come out to fight them like the rest of the ites, they decided that they're going to preserve themselves. And the verse 17, and the children of Israel journeyed and came to their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Chephirah and Beeroth and Kirjathaim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes. All the congregation murmured against the leaders, because the leaders had gotten together and made a league with these people that the people knew that God said, destroy them all. So he says they came upon their cities, and the children of Israel did not smite them, did not destroy them, did not attack them, because the princes had done what? They had sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel. So they had made an oath to say, we will not destroy you. Well, they lied to them. Isn't that a good enough reason to destroy them? Shouldn't we do that? Shouldn't we go ahead and, sorry, God, let's kill them all? No, you made a covenant with people in the name of the Lord God. Now, that's on you. You messed up. You didn't ask God. How many of you've ever done something, you signed off on something, and you're stuck in it? And then you're blaming God. You're blaming yourself, which is legit. But I'm telling you, what you need to do is get forgiven. If you messed up, if you did something, get forgiven right now. Do not continue to walk in condemnation. Amen? Do not walk in condemnation. Father, thank you that you forgive me. Father, thank you that Jesus paid for that. Now, you may have some worldly consequences because of that deal. Walk it out. Walk it out. God will take care of you. Let's find out how. Now, in the meantime, the family is murmuring against them, right? People are going to murmur against you when you make a bad decision. Your people are likely to give you a hard time. Verse 19, this is Joshua chapter 9, verse 19. But all the princes said to the congregation, "We have sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel, now therefore we may not touch them." So they're also teaching the people, said, once you have sworn before God, you're bound. Follow through with your word. Follow through with your word. But all the so we may not touch them. Verse 20, this we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath that we swore to them. You break your covenant and your oath, you're liable to let loose another set of dire circumstances. Amen. So don't go against your oath, but ask God now, what do I do? What do I do now? Because God will show you. God will give you wisdom on how to deal with what you stepped in. Amen. Praise the Lord. If that makes sense to you. God will give you wisdom on how to deal with problems that you step into. Because you will make a mess of things. I know I have. Hallelujah. But God is with me. Say, God is with me. Amen. No, He really is. No, He really is. God is with me. Though I mess up, this we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest the wrath be upon us because of the oath that we swore to them. 21, verse 21. And the princes said to them, let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water to all the congregation, as the princes had promised them. Okay, so in other words, we're going to put them in a certain position amongst us. We have let them live, but now they are going to be servants to us, to the people. And, you know, there's, how many know when you're sacrificing animals and building fires and all kinds of things that you need a lot of wood and a lot of wood and a lot of water. Well, this is a handy job, handy deal. We got people who are gonna help us with this. Now, I want you to notice that these people were not a different race. These people had nothing to do with a different race. This isn't, you know, the funniest part about when people talk about Ham and Ham being the subservient race. Number one, it was not Ham. It was Canaan, the son of Cush. So it's Ham's grandson was Canaan, after whom the land was named. So that was Ham's grandson. Ham wasn't even mentioned in the curse. It was cursed be Canaan. So in other words, he will serve one of his uncle, his great uncle. Yeah, he'll serve Shem and he'll serve Japheth. You know, so it was a family deal. It's more an inheritance thing, I think, apparently. But of course, you know how people do. They decide they're gonna use the Bible to try to curse another group of people that they find to be beneficial to them. So much of the scripture, and of course we know this in the American slave institution, is that they use the Bible to attempt to justify slavery. Well, number one, slavery had nothing to do with the race of the people that it had to do with. Usually it had to do with debts that were owed or the fact that these folks were conquered by a civilization that came in. Here in this case, obviously, these people turned themselves in. They didn't even get conquered. They were doing their best to stay, avoid being conquered and destroyed and killed. So they lied and they schemed, but they did a good job of it. And they were so impressed that they said, okay, you can stay among us, but you guys are going to be hewers of wood and drawers of water. You know, and even some, as I remember, the Dutch Reformed Church actually adopted that phraseology in their doctrines of apartheid in South Africa. So that the black races, the black people, of course, in South Africa, the Dutch and the British were the ruling colonialists, and then they came and enslaved the black populations, the Zulu and various other black races. But it's religion that put that in place, and that declared a race of people to be put into slavery. Most biblical slavery had nothing to do with the race of the individual. Again, it had to do with them being conquered or them being in debt to. Even in the New Testament, you were a slave because you were in many cases indebted. Maybe your family was indebted to another family. All right. So in this case, being hewers of wood and drawers of water is just the assignment that was that the Gibeonites received for being able to live and not be destroyed by the conquerors. And so that's how, because they had, the conquerors, though, had made an error. They had not destroyed the city or asked the right questions. So it turned out well for the Gibeonites, basically. At least they got to live. And of course, after a while, you know, you're all kind of in the same community. I'm not saying it's a great situation, but you live, and your children and your children's children continue to grow. All right. So verse 21, and the princes said to them, "Let them live, and let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water to all the congregation, as the princes had promised them." Verse 22, and Joshua called for them, and he spoke to them, saying. Now he's going to set them down and ask them the question. He says, "Wherefore have you beguiled us, saying, 'We are very far from you,' when you dwell among us? Tell us your story." You know, I mean, they really did push the story, right? Remember that? You know. And by the way, did you notice our shoes? Did you notice our wine buckets and our bread that we had when it was fresh? You know, it wasn't fresh. It was moldy when they left town yesterday afternoon. I mean, it was a total scam. Say, "Why have you beguiled us, saying, 'We are very far from you,' when you dwell right here? Now, therefore, you are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God." So these guys are actually working for God. According to Joshua's own mouth, these guys are actually working for God. And they answered Joshua and said, "Because it was certainly told your servants how that the Lord your God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land." They got their history down. They know all about this. "And to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were sore afraid of our lives for you, because of you, and have done this thing. And now behold, we are in your hand. As it seems good and right to you to do to us, do it." And so did he to them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, because the children of Israel were going to kill them. Children of Israel did not like this deal. But Joshua and the princes and the oath of God delivered these people out of their hand. Because they would have abrogated the oath that they made to God. Okay, and he said, so he did to them, delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, that they slew them not. And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord, even to this day, in the place in which he should choose. So, interesting thing about that is that, again, pray for your leaders. Pray for your leaders that they do not do what the Lord has commanded them not to do. Here in this country, you can call, in this city, you can call your leaders. When they're running for office, they actually want to hear from you. They'd like you to show up and you could actually, Monty, you could actually talk to them. Monty's run for office before. He wants to hear from all kinds of people. You want to, those whom you are going to serve, you want to hear from them. Unless you're, you know, bought and paid for by somebody else. You want people who are beholden to you as the people of God, as the people of this city, this country, this nation, with students in the school board, students in the school district. You want to find, because how many want criminals in your school district growing up in your school district? No. You want to have students in your schools raised in a godly fashion with knowing what it is to do right and to wrong. What is godly and what is ungodly, you want them to know the distinction and the difference. So you want to put people in those positions. So here, when you want to watch your leaders, amen? Praise God. You want to watch your leaders and make sure that your leaders are listening to God. Exhort them. Exhort your leaders to hear the voice of God. You know, if you see something suspicious, like, hey, you guys sound like you're fixing to actually shake hands with these guys, you know, and you're fixing to shake hands with the enemy, you know. Now God turned it, you know, to a blessing. God can turn your mistakes into a blessing. Amen. You know that, right? Hallelujah. Doesn't mean you need to go ahead and do a mistake on purpose, but God will turn it into a blessing if you will repent and hear Him. But also, I'm telling you, is pay attention to what your leaders are doing. Pray for them, talk to them, show them the Word of God. And come before the Lord your God yourself, as the people of God. Amen. Well, God is good. I hope you're blessed this morning. Hallelujah. I love this chapter. This is a great chapter. Amen. God does all kinds of funny things in the Scriptures. He does all kinds. He talks to you about things that are important. He talks to you about things that'll make you examine how you're walking before Him. Amen. So let's continue to do that as we continue through Joshua. Amen. All right. Father, we just love you and praise you. Thank you for this word. Thank you for this promise. Thank you, Lord God, that though we desire to hear your voice, sometimes we get into a position where we think we know everything's okay, where everything's okay. We know pretty well how to know what your will is. But Father, we thank you that you always want us to come into your presence and to hear your voice and to ask you, shall I move forward or shall I wait? Shall I hesitate? Father, we thank you that you'll give us wisdom. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, in James chapter 1, and let him ask of God, who does not criticize, but who gives abundantly. So, Father, we praise You. Thank You that You are leading us, You're guiding us. As we go into prayer, the 8 parts of daily prayer, coming in with thanksgiving and praise and intercession, confession of sin, confession of righteousness, petition, commitment, repentance, all of these features. Father, thank You that You lead us into a time of prayer. Father, even this day, let us pray for our nation and those leaders who are going to be set in office in the next few weeks, or are going to be our candidates for the November elections. Father, we pray for them. We pray for ourselves and each other that we will take time to know whom we should select as our candidates for office. We ask You to do this. Show us whom we shall bring into place. Let us pray for them, even those who are not with us. Father, we pray for them that they would be transformed and changed, that their minds would be changed, that they would repent and hear the voice of God and know the Word of God. Father, we praise You and thank You for these promises. Thank You that we need not complain, but seek Your face and do Your will. We give You glory and we give You praise. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Well, God is good. Amen. If anybody needs to meet the Lord Jesus today, I want you to come and let's pray together. If you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit,